Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
61. The home run king, Roger Maris.
There it goes! Number 60!
Well, you know you're real close to something, you're going to try and gun for it.
Number 61, he ties Roger Maris.
This is something special, but we're not done yet.
Ready, waiting, anxious. High fly ball.
What a moment. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Now on ESPNU, the ESPN app. Click on the lower right-hand corner of the app, says more. Click on it, scroll down to live radio. And if you have a phone, you can take us wherever you go. Listen live. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So Aaron Judge hit his 62nd. I was getting nervous that he wasn't going to get to 62, you know? Broke Roger Maris. He tied Babe Ruth's record, 60 in 154 games. Then he tied Roger Maris. He never broke Ruth in terms of hitting 61st before game 155, but still tying it's huge. Maris also didn't break Ruth's record in 154 games. And then hit was on 61. I'm like, is he going to tie Maris too and just end up just tied at 61? But he hit his 62nd. I was hoping he would also get the triple crown. He's like 4 points off the batting average lead, and Ariz is being sat by Rocco Baldelli, the manager, and, you know, claiming that that he's got a hamstring. He's got a hammy. So he's sitting out and, you know, trying to get the batting crown that way. Although, to be fair, you know, Judge has had plenty of at-bats to try, you know, to raise
really,
the batting
does
average.
It really even matter, though, at this point?
It'd be nice to win a triple crown in the year you set
yeah,
the
record.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to win a crown.
Sure.
A crown, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Like a ring.
Yeah, a ring.
And so does it really, really matter?
I mean, when
Max,
you start talking about the greatest seasons ever.
I'm trying to win everything.
Yeah. You want everything. You want to get it. Yeah. It's not mutually
crown,
exclusive.
I want it all. I want it all. I can do it all.
If you can do it within you winning a championship.
Of course, yeah.
Then, yeah, you do it. But he's had plenty of opportunities to do it and be in this position at the end of the season, and it didn't happen. So let's not – I understand you're a Yankees fan, Max, and going to go crazy and pull out your hair and all that, but let's not, you know –
But Key, it doesn't
spend
feel like
too much time worrying about that.
I want it all, really, like in Monopoly.
It
doesn't really feel like Aaron Judge has a personality trait or character that would make you think that he's chasing individual stats, because every time this dude opens his mouth, it's always been about the team first. Everything has been about them winning.
Believe me, when a triple crown's on the line, people are like, triple crowns are rarer than, like, a triple crown in my lifetime, it's happened once. That's Miguel Cabrera. And before I was born, Carl Yastrzemski did it. You know, you're talking about 55 years, it was happened twice. It's very rare.
In most baseball players, though, in general, Jay, they're going to always talk about the team. That's just baseball. They never, like, it's hard to say, well, I didn't get a chance to hit the home run. Yeah. Even when you hear pitchers being taken out of games, even though we know that this guy has a perfect game coming, but his pitch count might be a little bit high, right, Max? And then all of a sudden he's yanked. You never hear him say, well, man, my manager should have left
Can't
me
do
in.
It. That's not
they
the
never
culture.
Say that.
Yeah,
they
not
just
the culture.
Go, well, you know, whatever manager, skipper wants to do, you know, da-da-da. That's what you're going to kind of get.
Guys, so there's a lot of talk about what's the real home run record, because the fact is Bonds hit 73. Each one of them counted in the game. It affected the score of the game, the outcome of the season, the whole thing. Same thing with McGuire and Sosa in 98. They hit 70 and 66 that year. But the fact is when Barry Bonds was 34, his home run to at-bat ratio, because he was in a little decline from his prime, as 34-year-old players usually are, and he had one home run to every 14.9 at-bats, which is excellent. He was on base was .438. He slugged .609. Still an all-time great player. But that same year, McGuire and Sosa got all the press, all the fame, all the money, right, because they were smashing the home run crown. And obviously, that was ill-gotten goods. You'd have to be brainless not to see that. So by Bonds was like, oh, we're playing it this way? Okay. And by 01, his home run to at-bat ratio more than cut in half. One home run every 6.5 at-bats. His on base .515. He slugged .863. It became like a cartoon. So people who recognized judge like me point to that and say, come on, guys, we know how that happened. Carl Ravitch, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, ESPN Major League Baseball announcer with us now. What's up, Ravi?
What's up, Ravi?
How you boys doing? Good to talk with you.
Likewise. What do you think about Judge's season? You know, not just the fact that he hit the 62nd, but he's 4 points in batting average away from a triple crown, and he's leading the next closest guy by over 20 home runs, right? Like, where does this season stack up, not just in history, in the seasons you've seen, Carl? Where would you put it?
Well, I mean, it's a top 10 offensive season individually of all time, and I thought you framed the Bonds, McGuire, Sosa stuff really well. Now, my wife, who's smarter than I am, asked the question, would Barry Bonds or McGuire or Sosa have otherwise passed 61 without the benefit of performance-enhancing drugs? I mean, I think you circle 98 to 01, and we all have to, you know, deal with it individually. This is not a collective end of conversation. He is the single-season home run record. The beauty of sports is you debate everything. Personally, the season Aaron Judge is having is top five, top ten of all time, and he did it on a team that dealt with all sorts of injuries, carried them to 100 wins. It's very rare that one person in this sport is able to do, you know, what Wilt or Michael Jordan did, or when Eric Dickerson rushed for 2,100 yards. Like, this is an outlier, and it appears very much so to be done without the benefit of anything to help him get there.
Right. Hey, Carl, like, when people say it's unknowable because Kirk Ching was on earlier, say, I don't think that's true in the sense that, like, Roger Maris sets the record. He's a left-handed hitter. The Yankees believe he can pull. He was good enough that they traded for him and hit him third in a championship lineup, right, or in a championship-caliber lineup in front of Mickey Mantle. Sure enough, he hits 39 right. home runs because he learns to pull the ball, which not only works at Yankee Stadium but all around baseball. And then the next year, expansion, watered-down pitching. He hits the 61 outlier, age 26 season in his prime, all that. He just won the MVP the year before. All those things could be explained by external circumstances, his age, trajectory of his career, but none of that would apply to Bonds, McGuire, or Sosa. It's very clear, I think, that there's no shot that any of them whiff a home run record without a lot of help, whereas internal help, not external, whereas Judge comes into the league, Carl. He hit 52 home runs as a rookie. Like, in partial seasons, he was hitting close to 30 home runs. He hit 39 last year, the first time he played most of a full season, like as Maris did the year before he broke it. Not the same thing,
very
is it?
Very similar to what McGuire did, too. McGuire came in and hit almost 50 home runs his rookie year. I mean, look,
but he never slugged over 500 again, Carl. He was always slugging under 500 after his rookie year, and then suddenly
but
he was
Babe something
Ruth.
Appropriate, isn't there, Max, and guys, too? Aaron Judge being the biggest, strongest. I mean, the outlier of Aaron Judge is his physical size. And it's not as if Aaron Judge changed physical size since he came into the league. His batting style changed, his stance changed, his approach changed. But there's nothing that would suggest anything went into his body to change the size of certain parts of his body. So it is appropriate in a lot of ways that the biggest, strongest guy is the one who holds this home run record. It's a boxing match. It's, as you know, Max, I mean, a lot of times the reason Marvin Hagler won is because there was nobody nastier. There's nobody that had a better left fist than he did. There was nobody quick. There are appropriate measures by which we look at these and judge them. Will Chamberlain was the greatest scorer in NBA history because he did things other people didn't do. Aaron Judge is able to do things other people can't do. And there's a reason Maris's 61 lasted for 61 years. That's the benchmark of a human being generally. 154, 162 game season. That's it.
Ravi, are you going for a walk? Where,
yeah, I'm out on a walk.
I could tell. I hear it. I like it. Carl Ravitch, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, ESPN MLB announcer.
I feel like I'm on a walk.
Yeah,
right?
We're all on a walk with Ravi. Yeah. Joining us here on Keyshawn
J. Will. Yeah, come on along. It's a little breezy out here. It's beautiful.
I hear Ravi. We had Cameron Maben on earlier, and I made the point about Aaron Judge and about, you know, going through the season now, you know, his contract potentially being in the threes, right, which is crazy from where it was originally compared to what the Yankees offered him. But, you know, Cameron brought up the point about, you know, one of the things that maybe, because I said as an athlete, I'm always petty, you know, I always have rabbit ears. I hear what the organization wants to do.
There's a radio host
treat it
petty.
And the fact that when they leaked that information about what the offer was that he supposedly didn't want, how that could have left a bad taste in his mouth. From a guy who's been around baseball for a long time, do you think, has the pinstripes lost a little bit of the allure around like, hey, I'm willing to take less to be a Yankee? Or do you think this age of player empowerment, a guy like Aaron Judge can have an incredible season, could potentially win a World Series, and then say, you know what, I want to go back home and be a San Francisco Giant?
Yeah. So it's not only being around baseball. I think you all have recognized there are individuals who either listen to themselves, their agents, their families, who take things like the leaking of a $213 million offer, or forget leaking, publicly sitting there at a press conference saying, here's what we offered. It pits Aaron Judge and his fan base against the Yankees and their fan base. The they didn't respect me card is very real. And certain players will use that and make decisions based on it, meaning I'm leaving here. It doesn't matter what they do. I think Aaron Judge, and again, time will tell, is a person who recognizes the value of the pinstripes. He also recognizes his own worth. Before the very first Sunday night game we did with the New York, I was with him in the batting cage, and I said, how are you doing with regards to turning down that contract? And he winked, and he said, we're in a good place. Now, It's easy to me for somebody to say we're in a good place when you know you have abilities, when you know you are unique, when you're physically gifted. You know, it's a test he knew he was going to pass. I don't think he knew he was going to pass it with a record number of home runs, but he knew he was going to pass this test. He knew what the market was going to bear if he could stay healthy and do what he does. So I've seen players be pissed off by what they deem to be disrespectful numbers. Very few people in their right minds would look at $213 million and think it's in any way disrespectful. But this is the world that they live in. This is the athlete's world. We're asked to relate to an athlete's perspective. We can't do it. So it jades all of us. I've just seen players say, I'm out of there. They blew their chance. I don't think Aaron Judge is in that category, but the Yankees are going to have to acknowledge he's worth a lot more than what we originally offered him.
And I think they will, Carl, especially if they want to continue to try to have a guy like Aaron Judge be out in the outfield at the end of his career. Can the Yankees finish this off, though, this season? Can they go? Can this become a magical ride, so to speak, in the postseason?
Well, there are reasons to be encouraged, and Luis Severino is certainly one of them. And, you know, it's interesting. You watched Cole last night. I mean, Max is a big Yankee fan. I know you guys follow the Yankees. Really interesting. You know, Max Fried is the number one starter for the Braves. Urias is the number one starter for the Dodgers this season. DeGrom or Scherzer, you know who they are. Game one, Severino based on his last start, Cortez, or $324 million guy Cole. There are some questions there, but the development and advancement of Severino the last couple of weeks is encouraging. The bullpen is in shambles, and, you know, frankly, the Astros are a better team. They're more well-rounded. When we went into Atlanta this weekend, we watched the Mets get swept. The Braves were red hot. It's easy to look at them and say they're a much better team when they play that way than the Mets. The Yankees aren't as good as the Astros. Doesn't mean they can't beat them if they get them in an LCS.
Hey, Carl, it's interesting you bring up the bullpen being in shambles, and certainly Severino, who had the hardest average velocity on his fastball of any major league starter before he got hurt, was, you know, seven no-hit innings and topping 100 miles an hour again. But, you know, once upon a time, 20 years ago, if you had two stud aces, hammers at the top of the rotation, it's not that it didn't matter what else you had, but, man, like, that's how the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees, right? They had Johnson and Schilling at the top of the rotation. And teams that had that had an enormous advantage. You look at DeGrom and Scherzer for the Mets. Do you think it is still like that, or has the game changed to the point where those two stud aces at the top of the rotation mean less than, for example, the bullpen, or relatively less than they used to compared to the bullpen?
Depends on which round you're playing. The fact that the Mets have to play in a wild card series, and if they win, go into a division series, and if they win, go into an LCS, that the two great pitchers at the top are not going to be the outliers, the ability that Schilling and Johnson had. And let's not forget, you know, Madison Bumgarner, Randy Johnson, How many games that they ended up actually influencing the game from the bullpen. So That's not going to happen with the Mets pitchers. Could it happen with somebody like Severino? Yeah. Could it happen with somebody like Tyler Glasnow? Sure, it could. What are the Dodgers going to do with their back end? But there's a depth about the Dodgers that I don't think the Mets have. I don't think the Yankees have. I think the Braves do. I mean, think about the Braves bench. Think about the Dodgers bench. Those guys are going to influence it. In the case of having just two starters, I think it really depends. If I take the Mets as an example, Max, the Mets playing in a division series only and resting these two guys, I don't know how you quantify it, but the chances of them winning without having to deal with a wild card are multiplied tenfold. So this is a very unique format in postseason, and I like it because it rewards the regular season. I feel bad for the Mets. They won 100 games, and they're not going to avoid a wild card, but I think the two-pitcher model gets really banged when you have to play in a wild card series.
Sure does. That's scary.
Ravi, I'm a Mets fan. We had, you know, during that series with the Braves, what, we had like 22 runs that were left on base. I mean,
yeah.
Can they turn it around? I mean, obviously when you have guys like Scherzer and guys like DeGrom, you know, we'll talk about the blister and how that affects his throwing and then Scherzer with the shoulder thing. But do you think they have a legitimate shot? Like, what needs to happen in order for the Mets actually to get to the top?
The guy that invented flex grip needs to go over to Starling Marte's house and somehow get his finger right so that he can play and perform. They are so, I think, hurt by not having that presence in the lineup. He is a presence. You know, he's not Aaron Judge, but there's an attitude about Marte. There's a base stealing aspect. There's an outfield aspect. There's protection. So whoever that guy is, you know, you all know Flex Seal. We need somebody to fix that finger of his. And according to Buck yesterday, it doesn't appear as if that's going to be, you know, reality. So the answer to that question is no. And especially it's rooted in, I think the comment Max Scherzer made the other day, I don't know if you guys heard it, but how much he was looking forward to the winter so he can get his body back.
Exactly.
Well, wait a minute. There's still the month of October before the winter. And Max has historically been such a competitive guy, he'd look forward to something like that. You know, he'd comment on, I can't wait for the postseason. And I believe he feels that way, but the alluding to the winter was troubling for me.
Now that the season is coming to a close, who'll get the MVP? Will it be Ohtani or will it be Aaron Judge based on the 62?
Yeah, I think it's based on the entire season. And I think we talked about this on Sunday night. If Ohtani was a rookie this year, it would be, to me, a far more intense conversation, meaning we've never seen this before. It's something so unique. It is an outlier. But we all just went through this last year with him. So, unfortunately, the curse of Ohtani is Ohtani. We've seen this act before. We've never seen the Judge act before, and that's in its totality. We've never seen, as Max said, you know, having 20 more homers, nearing a triple crown and still having a chance. So the totality and the uniqueness of Judge's season, carrying a team, 100 wins, to me, tips it in his favor, and it's not close. But if Ohtani was a rookie, ooh. That would, to me, be a very different conversation.
Carl, it's so freaky, right? Like, usually you get tremendous deviation from the mean. Not like early in baseball history when Babe Ruth could play it full-time and everyone else had a day job, right? Smaller sample sizes where, you know, you flip a coin 10 times, you might get 8 heads, 2 tails. But if you flip it 1,000 times, it's going to be about 50-50. The fact that baseball is structured the way it is now and you have outliers like Ohtani, maybe the best we've never seen it before, and Judge, even Mike Trout. Mike Trout's played, barely over 100 games, has almost 40 home runs. Like, what's going on with some individual seasons this year compared to the average player is insane. And Ohtani, in any other year, would be a runaway MVP. All right, well, it's interesting times in baseball.
Great times in baseball, and a great postseason coming up.
Great postseason coming up. And the great Carl Ravitch was nice enough to join us today. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it.
Enjoy that walk, Ravi.
Anytime. Always fun to be on with you guys. Anytime.
ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. His very own Carl Ravitch, ladies and gentlemen. Every Major League Baseball postseason game, by the way, will be on ESPN Radio. Coverage of the wild card round starts Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Also, all of the wild card games will be on ESPN. Meantime, ESPN senior NFL writer Jason Reed joins us to discuss his book, Rise of the Black Quarterback, and the impact black quarterbacks have had on the game.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Jason Reed, ESPN senior NFL writer, author of Rise of the Black Quarterback, here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Good morning.
What's going on, Jay?
What's up, right. Jay?
What's up, Key?
I look forward to reading this, man.
Appreciate you, J. Will. Thank
it's
you,
It's going to be
man.
A good read.
Thank you.
Key, you wrote a book that where there's some overlapping issues here. You have something you want to set this off with?
Oh no, yeah, but no. Mine was more about the history of the NFL with the first four black players that was brought back into the NFL back in the 1960s. Jason's is more about the black quarterback, but some of the same parallels. Jason's book is certainly an amazing read. I had an opportunity to speak to a class at USC about a month and a half ago alongside Jason and talk about some of the issues that's in his book. And I wanted to bring up one in particular to start with. Jason, you know, you told a story about Warren Moon coming out of the University of Washington and having an opportunity to be the top quarterback in the draft, but yet and still one particular team, one particular front office or a couple front office executives declined to look at him any further to make him the quarterback. Instead, they elected to do something different. Can you elaborate on that for the audience?
Yeah, Key, you know, when we were in that class, I brought that up because I thought it was a very important story in the book. When Warren Moon was coming out of the University of Washington in 1978, he was the co-Pac-8, it was the Pac-8 at the time, player of the year. He helped Washington win the Rose Bowl, goes undrafted. And, you know, I was talking to a scout, to someone who was a scout with the Cowboys at the time, and he told me that, you know, he went to the University of Washington, he looked at Warren Moon, and he filed this report that said, hey, this is the guy to take, okay? It's 1978. No quarterback had ever been taken in the first round. No black quarterback had ever been taken in the first round in the NFL draft at that point.
Wow.
And he knew, the scout told me, he knew that, look, this is going to be a hard sell. But the Cowboys were having a draft meeting, and he lays this out to some of the brightest minds in the history of the NFL. Tom Landry, you know, Gil Brandt, Tex Schramm, people who are on the Mount Rushmore of the NFL. And there was after he finished his report, silence in the room. You could hear a pin drop. And someone pierces the silence and says, well, did you talk to him about changing positions? Because in 1978, you know, again, black quarterbacks were not being drafted to play quarterback in the NFL. They all were changed to either wide receivers or cornerback, you know, that type of thing. So he said, no. This guy's a quarterback, and obviously it went nowhere after that. He wasn't drafted. The Cowboys didn't take him. But, you know, had the Cowboys taken him, and granted, it would have been a lot for the Cowboys to take him, but he could have been the quarterback after Roger Staubach. And how might NFL history and Cowboys history have been different if Warren Moon replaced Roger Staubach instead of Danny White?
I chuckle at that because think about that, though. that in our minds, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys in the state of Texas at that point in time. They'd have had people turning over in their graves, man.
Jason, where is that thread gone? Where is it now? And what's your interpretation of where it will go?
That's a great question. I mean, and you know, you guys had me on the show a while back to talk about the Kyler Murray situation. And, you know, what I said was there has never been a better time to be a black quarterback in the NFL. I mean, just the facts. These guys are adored. They have the biggest contracts, some of the biggest contracts in the history of the NFL. They are the leaders of teams. Teams are built around them. They are the faces of franchises. So when you talk about that through line, you know, it was horrible. You know, for years and years, black men were just not allowed to play quarterback in this league. And now it is great. Okay, there's just no question about that. But progress is not perfection. And, you know, we know about the Kyler Murray situation with the contract addendum. You know, and I said on the show when you guys had me on before, I thought that was a Kyler Murray-specific situation. I didn't think that related to all black quarterbacks or a cloud over all black men who now play quarterback in the NFL. But where it's going, Jay Will, you know, I said this to Key when we talked about our books together at USC. You look at all of the major college powerhouses, the traditional ones, the Alabamas, the USCs, the Ohio States. Turn on college football on Saturday, you will see black men who play quarterback or black young men who play quarterback across America. It would not be shocking if in another 5 to 10 years there were as many as 12 to 16 superstar black quarterbacks in the NFL. Because if you look at the youth football, you look at high school football, and you look at major college football, I mean, these guys are just all over
Jason,
the place.
Jason, how
it's,
much?
It's amazing. It's ahead, amazing. You just brought that up, Max, Jay, and Jason. I was just having this what just came out of your mouth. I was having this conversation yesterday at lunch with somebody about the black quarterback situation across college football, in particular at USC, because we got Caleb Williams now, who is our first black quarterback, Jay, since Rodney Peete as a starter. That means something to our school. And Rodney Peete, that was so long ago, right? And we were saying how our university was so stuck on the statue pocket quarterback with the hair coming out of the back of the helmet with the blue eyes, and he would deliver the football in sync. And a guy, it took Lincoln Riley to come to USC to realize that, wait a minute, Tennessee, Ohio's, how am I going to compete with C.J. Stroud running all over the place and Bryce Young running all over the place but still being able to deliver the football if I just had a statue quarterback? It's amazing that you brought that up. It's so fascinating.
Yeah, and by the way, I guess it's unknowable or at least difficult to measure. But clearly, where does the camera go? Where's everyone's mind? On the coach and the quarterback. So if you don't want to be perceived as a quote-unquote black league, if those faces are white, that's a much easier sell to those who, if you believe those that your customer base, that your consumers want a white league. I think a lot of it's based on the biases of the owners making assumptions about their marketplace that may not be entirely true. Nevertheless, that was the case for decades and decades and decades, and that era seems to be coming to a close, one would hope. What's that, Key?
I was just saying to myself, to some degree, because I look at what you just said, Max, and I look at Lamar Jackson, who's a former MVP.
Not getting the endorsements.
I don't see him plastered all over television.
That's right.
Which speaks to they think that is what the consumer wants.
I don't know how scientific all that is, though. That may just be a lot of assumptions that may not be right. Who knows? How important was Colin Kaepernick to the story of the book?
Well, I mean, I don't think it would have been intellectually dishonest for me to try to tell this story without bringing Kaepernick. You know, Kaepernick, it represents something the NFL had never seen before. You had never had a starting Pro Bowl caliber player. I mean, Grant, you know, you can talk about how good he is, but he did help a team reach a Super Bowl, and he was a very good dual threat quarterback. You had never had someone who occupied this position in the game take a stand on civil rights issues, on issues of police brutality and systemic oppression. Now, wherever you come down on those issues, NFL.
I hope you're not for them.
Well, what do you mean?
People who come down on them. I'm against them. People are against them.
Well, there are a lot of people who are against the stand that he took, obviously.
Right,
so
right.
So I felt I had to include him in this book because he's very important in this story, because no other starting quarterback in NFL history had ever done what he had done. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was very important to the book.
Indeed. Jason Reed, ESPN senior NFL writer, author of The Rise of the Black Quarterback, which is certainly one of the things that is happening. Talk about the zeitgeist, right? What's happening now in the world of sports, that is certainly central to what is happening in terms of the biggest issues of in American sports right now.
And Max, the last line of the title, too, What It Means for America, also talks about how it's integrated. It's fascinating.
No, it really is. It talks about so many great quarterbacks, black quarterbacks that, you know, from Shaq Harris to I can't think of my guy who passed away recently.
Marlon Briscoe.
Marlon Briscoe. Actually, Marlon Briscoe coached me at wide receiver in junior college.
Did he really? Well,
Yeah. Coach Briscoe was my guy. And so it gives you all of those little nuggets, Jay. It's just a lot went into Jason being able to uncover, discover some of the things that is never really even talked about or mentioned.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
With the uncertainty surrounding the health of Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor, Jay, should the Giants trade for Mitch Trubisky?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Jay, you just brought it up off mic. The fan who dove for the 62?
All I'm saying, Key, is if I were in the stand, I would have dove for it, too. I would have broken a clavicle, broken a leg.
Well, like when Key says, man, you're dropping Bentleys when a receiver drops a pass. You don't want to drop. That's not a Bentley. That's a house.
I mean, yeah, Aaron, I think it depends on, I don't know. It depends on, like for me, I would have dove for it because I'm broke. So the dude apparently that caught it is pretty well off. He's more in the Jay and Max category. So
he's an investment VP in Dallas. He don't need that ball.
So, yeah, he's an investment VP in Dallas. So that must be some type of hedge fund guy that hangs out with Jay, right? I mean, that's kind of what it is.
My name's
and so would, if you had that type of money, allegedly, that he has, do you look at the ball? Do you try to get it? What do you do?
He owns half of Calabasas. What is he talking about?
He's the CEO of ESPN. I don't know why he's trying to deflect.
Man, what would you do, man? With y'all, if the ball came y'all way, as well off as you guys are, what would you do?
You know me. I'm diving. I'm catching it. I'm turning that moment into an NFT, and I'm holding on to the ball. I'm monetizing every aspect of it. I'm monetizing every aspect of it. But seriously, Key, I would have dove for it just because I think. First off, you know me.
I don't think you plan it, man. You see the ball there, you just go for it.
Yeah. I would try to sell it back to Aaron Judge. Like, don't worry, I'll wait for you.
Yeah, I'm selling. I'm not selling it to whoever buy it. Yeah. It ain't got to be him. It could be whoever wants it.
I'm waiting for you to get your $300 million contract, and let's talk about how much it means.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to take his money.
Yeah, why not?
Not
Jay'll take anyone's
money. I don't want to do the player. Like, no.
He's fine.
No, Sotheby's will put it up for auction.
Yeah, that auction might.
He is
no,
there
I'm saying you put it up for auction. I wouldn't go to
the player.
He's trying
to think of the lowest number he can think of.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have to put it up for like public. You can still put it up for auction. Just auction it to Aaron Judge.
Yeah, but I don't want to take Aaron Judge's money.
I would simply hand it to Aaron Judge for a handshake and a picture.
There's no real value, right?
What?
The players, I don't think the players ever keep that stuff. I think they give it to Cooperstown or something. They don't ever, like, I don't think Aaron Judge would ever keep it.
Picking and choosing whose money you're going to take sounds like a really rich person thing to say.
It's a rich problem to have. I got to be honest, Key, I was going through some of my, like, old school, like, USA basketball stuff and stuff. I'm just like, oh, I don't. What am I gonna? I'm just gonna hold on to it.
Listen, all collectors' items are basically junk. In the end, it's all basically junk. The reality is, it's basically junk.
My stuff is art.
Well, I mean, look, here and there, you're right. There's some, but will disqualify as it, right? As one of those.
I mean, you know, all that stuff too. Q was like 4X. I'm like, yeah, I wore 4X.
What would you get for it?
Extra what would you sell?
I'll give you $1 million for that ball.
Give me the Naismith trophy. I'll take that.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lies, and more lies.
Yeah, I feel like presented by Progressive Insurance.
I feel like you had a problem with that statement, Key.
Yeah.
Because it's a lie.
What do you, I mean, I didn't, he was one of the kings of the sport since he walked in.
The debate at the time was LeBron or Kobe.
One, I mean, Kobe, I get it.
But that was the debate.
After 3 hours and 45 minutes go by, you'd have changed your damn mind.
No, I mean, I change my mind every day. All I'm saying, though, is the dude was a chosen one.
Of course.
He wasn't the undisputed best in the game, but a lot of people at the time thought LeBron was the best.
What I'm saying, as a giant, right? Right now, Aaron Judge is the giant of Major League Baseball. You can say Ohtani. You can say
Judge is the most famous dude. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's all I'm saying. And at that time when we were talking about LBJ, there was still a Kobe aspect of there because, remember, the Lakers were running from 08 to 12, 13, where the Lakers was the Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. And then eventually Nike did that commercial, Jay. It was like the puppet commercial where – they were like passing the torch to LeBron, so to speak, kind of making the transition to LeBron. That's all I was saying. I'm not saying that LeBron isn't the famous LeBron that we know. I just think that at that time, it took him to go to Miami to win a championship to accomplish something before he surpassed a bunch of guys in the NBA.
Yeah, we got off on a tangent on that a little bit. I guess my overall point was just that the same kind of Aaron Judge being the face of baseball to me is similar to LeBron James being the face of basketball, right? And the clout that comes along with that. And LeBron has kind of set this tone that, yes, now he is a Laker, but he did things untraditionally, right? It was like in a non-traditional way.
Where he blazed a new trail.
Yes. And
like things are always the same until someone comes – a jump shooter can never win a championship, and then Steph Curry comes along and things change.
And that was my point with Judge. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to stay with the Yankees. I'm like, just because – you would stay with the Yankees because you think it makes all the sense in the world because of the history of this franchise. A lot of players these days, due to people and their trailblazing styles, doesn't mean they think that way.
Key, can I tell
you something? Yeah, no, that's true. But, Jay, are we looking at LeBron James more now as a Laker than we did as a Cav or even as a Miami Heat? Like what I mean by that, and maybe it's because social media is bigger now and there's more social media platforms, but it just feels like to me, and maybe because I'm a Laker fan, so to speak, that I all LeBron James 24/7 opposed when he was in Cleveland or even in Miami.
That's a valid point, Key. I think being in LA is similar to New York a little bit, but different because same. LA to me for LeBron is like a reality TV show all the damn time, Key. You know what
all
I'm saying? Like, even the comment he made yesterday, like, yeah, I don't have a relationship with Kareem. You know, like that blew up. It was trending online. It was a simple comment, right? But just, I guess, attached to all the greats that have played. And, I hear you.
And that goes back to my comment about there's in Major League Baseball for me, and Max could pay attention and listen to this. It's Yankees, Dodgers, Giants, in the
Cardinals.
Sox.
Cardinals were there.
Yeah, Yeah, I guess you could say Cardinals too, because they got a big, rich history. Yep.
But so, Key, I mean, if the Giants is a place that you're from, if you're from the Bay Area, and you tell me there isn't a drop off to a team that doesn't get, I mean, it's the same thing, right? You know, we often talk about quarterbacks. Oh, it's kind of like the
home.
Same thing.
It's
home.
Home. Yeah.
So, but the market is same. Up.
He's talking about those Tiffany brand heritage franchises.
Yeah.
And even as things change, they still hold sway. They still have weight. It doesn't mean, like, Jay, the deciding factor, but it is something to consider. It has
Like, check this out, though. So if I'm on a 25, there's a 25-0 NC State basketball team that just won a championship. No, I'm serious. And then there's a Duke team that didn't go to the championship. I'm going to Duke. Because even if we don't get to the championship, I'm at Duke.
See, but
man,
like
NC State?
Yeah, I don't look at I hear you. But if there's like I grew up a Georgetown fan. Like, I'm a John Thompson fan. So,
no, I get that.
Like, if there's a Georgetown that's available, I mean, I see what Duke is. I like it, but I'm rocking with Georgetown though.
If Georgetown was rolling
if it was
time,
right.
Even if it was right, Georgetown's a different situation with John T. coaching and all that sort of stuff. But when I look at these brands, like, I'm not going to the University of Tennessee if I can go to USC. It's just not going to happen because it's the rich history of it.
Key, let me say this, though. When I was doing the show with Marcellus Wiley, Key and I both did local shows, and I did Afternoon Drive, Key did Morning Drive, and 710 LA, ESPN LA. Great station. Had a lot of fun there, and Key was with LZ Granderson. I was with Marcellus Wiley. And Marcellus, around the time that LeBron had a choice to make, was talking about, I'm forgetting exactly what team was rumored, but his point was, because he's a Clippers fan, of course.
Never going to happen.
Not the Clippers. That's not the – but his point was the players nowadays want to light their own torch, right? They want to do their own thing. And he talked about his own experience where – he didn't get recruited by every top school and everything, but he could have gone to a more prestigious program, but he chose Columbia because he wanted to do his own thing, right? There are some personality types that are like, you know what? I know that to everyone else the pinstripes mean everything, but I like this new owner of the Mets. I like the fact that he wants to put a 4 in front of the contract or 350 or whatever it is, right? And I don't like the way the Yankees were penny-pinching me before the season began. I don't like it. Right? Like, that could happen. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
It certainly can happen. Kobe Bryant wanted to leave the Lakers at once upon a time. Yeah. The Lakers actually tried to
shop. He wanted to go to the Clippers.
And had not just the Clippers. They had offers on the table for multiple teams across the NBA. If you go and have an opportunity to watch Legacy on Hulu, it will show me tell you they documented
everything. You know, I'm in episode 2. I love
camera.
It. Episode 2. Episode 2. I can't get enough.
Oh, so yeah. So it could happen. There's no question about it. I just know as a player, when you have an opportunity to be with the likes of the Jeters, the Mariano Riveras, the Reggie Jacksons, the Babe Ruths, you know what I'm saying, the Roger Maris, you got a chance to be in that outfield. You won't have that chance to be in that outfield if you decide to leave based on some feelings that because at the time they valued you a certain way.
All I'm saying, Keith, somebody comes with a 4 in front of that number to me.
Yeah,
I don't care where.
Whoever comes with a 4, I'm going there. If someone comes with a 4,
man, now you're talking crazy. 200 million, 400 million, I'd go figure out how to play on the moon.
How about if you're off 50 million? How about if you're off 50 million?
Yeah, see, this is what the Yankees should do.
That's not really – if okay, I'm on $50 million, that's not really –
I'll give them
city
really
tax and
lot.
State tax.
How about this, Jay?
It's not a whole lot, though, Jay, when you're talking. That's not a whole lot.
$50 million is a lot, Key.
Not when you're talking about $300 million.
How about this?
That's $350 million. That's
Jay,
a lot more.
Jay, yeah, how about this before we get out of here?
We all know that they're going to go up. We know they're coming up from the 213.
How about this?
They're not staying there.
I'll give you three. I'll give it to you in 5 years. I'll give you 60 a year. Shorter deal, 5 years, $300 million. Do it right now. Call it a day.
For the Yankees?
Yep.
I want to see what the market
gives. Ah, that's the problem. They blew it. They waited too long. I warned them this would happen. I warned them he's going to hit 60 home runs.
Do it for the love of the game.
Greeny coming up.
You guys are unbelievable.
We're back tomorrow, 6 a.m. Eastern, KJR.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.